Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 33, this is God's word. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, because on the way they had been arguing with one another about who was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be last and servant of all." He took a child and had him stand among them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but him who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." "Don't stop him," said Jesus, "because there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name who can soon afterward speak evil of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. And whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, truly I tell you, he will never lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to fall away, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to fall away, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to fall away, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to fall away, gouge it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt should lose its flavor, how can you season it? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Immediately prior to this text, Jesus has just told his disciples explicitly for the second recorded time in the Gospel of Mark, that he's going to die. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise 3 days later. That's the message Jesus is teaching his disciples, and their response, not understanding, just not willing to accept the plain fact that he's declaring to them, their response is to get into an argument with each other on the road about who's the greatest. Don't you love these guys? I am so glad that the scripture honestly tells us the truth about what Jesus' closest friends and followers were like. They're arguing about status while Jesus is talking with them about his death. Jesus asks them after they get in the house, not because he's ignorant of what was going on, but because they needed to say it and he needed to confront it, and they didn't want to answer the question. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. Why? Because they knew better. They were embarrassed about what they'd done. They'd gotten drawn into an argument about which of them is the greatest. We have an attitude in our culture that it's perfectly fine to boast and say, we're number one. You've got teams all over America every weekend shaking their finger in the air and saying, we're number one, we're number one. Isn't it amazing that they're all number one? That's like saying all of our children are above average. No, if everybody gets A's, that's average. Okay? It is the sinful, prideful human heart that is forever trying to assert, I'm the greatest. I'm number one. I'm in charge. Jesus modeled an entirely different kind of leadership. Jesus washed his disciples' feet and said, do you understand what I've done? This is what you're to do for one another. But we want to be in charge. By nature, we are inclined to want to show that we're number one, that we're on top, we're dominant. And I'm telling you, Jesus comes along and says, that's not the way my kingdom works. Jesus said, what were you arguing about? But they were silent, because on the way they'd been arguing with one another about who was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last and servant of all. He took a child, had him stand among them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me doesn't just welcome me, but him who sent me. One of the great things about working at a place like Ware's Valley Ranch is you have an opportunity to do this, to welcome children in Jesus' name and show them the love of Christ. But please understand what that means. It means you've got to be willing to do the lowest tasks. I love my grandchildren. I'm about to have three of my grandchildren stay with us for 10 days, as I understand it. 10 days. It's going to be wonderful. As one of the grandchildren said to her grandmother, you're going to have fun with me. I think her parents may have told her to say, I'm going to have fun with you. But she got it switched, and it's okay. You're going to have fun with me. We're going to have fun together. That would probably be the best way of saying it. And I guarantee you, my wife will have fun with the grandchildren. My wife would also tell you that we are counting on our daughter to help make sure that everything goes okay. But we're going to have three wonderful little children. And we're going to try to make it a wonderful, enjoyable time. But if, for instance, as sometimes happens with children, one of them gets sick in the middle of the night, we don't have the opportunity just to blow that off and say, well, you know, good luck. Somebody's got to deal with that. You do that kind of thing because you love those you're taking care of. Amen? That's the reason why. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. A life of love that is willing to make sacrifices for those in our care. Jesus says, whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me. And not just me, but him who sent me. God takes how we treat the least of these personally. So if you think you are too high up the list to have to do that kind of stuff, you're not even on the list. Not even on the list. Whoever welcomes me doesn't just welcome me, but him who sent me.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is
and is holding out. Well, at this point, John spoke up. And what he says is kind of seemingly off subject. You know, in other words, it's like they didn't follow up by saying, oh, I am so sorry, we shouldn't have said what we did. What a stupid argument. They already knew that. They were already embarrassed. They heard what Jesus said. And now John changes the subject. John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us. Don't you love John? I mean, doesn't John sound like a little kid? Mommy, that boy over there was da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Okay? That's what John's doing. He's saying, we saw someone doing a bad thing and we tried to stop him. He didn't even get to report that they'd stopped him. He can't even say, and we made him stop. It's like, we tried to make him stop. Just so you know. These guys don't come across real well, do they? These are the apostles. These are Jesus' top guys. Now, why would I want to belabor that point? Because, folks, we may like to think of ourselves as having it all together, walking through life, striding through life, causing people on every hand to say, if only I could be like that. But the fact of the matter is, we're more like this. We say and do things that are embarrassing in retrospect. I cannot count the number of times that I have apologized to God for some of the stupid things that I've said and done. But when they're saying, we tried to stop him, Jesus responds, don't stop him. Would that be embarrassing when you just said what you were trying to do? We tried to stop him. Jesus says, don't stop him. Because there's no one who will perform a miracle in my name who can soon afterward speak evil of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. And whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, truly I tell you, he will never lose his reward. I'm telling you, that's like a drink of water to me. To hear Jesus saying, anybody who's not against me is for me. And if anybody does something for one of you because you belong to me, if that's the reason they're doing it, is because they want to do something nice for Jesus' followers, they'll never lose their reward. That means you don't have to be the world champion anything in order to get a reward from God. Aren't you glad you don't have to be number one? You don't have to be, you know, and whoever gives the greatest cup of water to one of my followers will never lose their reward. No, just a cup of water. Doesn't have to be some other complicated task. If you just do something kind for somebody in Jesus' name, God will reward you. I have been blessed so many times, in so many ways, by people wanting to do something for Jesus. And it's made me want to do something for Jesus. What is created by folks who believe this is an atmosphere where folks are seeking to serve and minister to one another. When I was growing up, I was born late in my parents' life. It is safe to say that my parents had already experienced a ton of sanctification, okay? They weren't totally perfect yet, but Dad was almost 48 when I was born. And Dad had come a long way. Early on, Dad had a hair trigger temper, and he didn't hit the family, but things could upset him like that, and then he'd make some blanket statement. My oldest brother has the distinction of being the only one sent away from the table with no food because he mentioned the word mouse at table. From my dad's perspective, the idea of mentioning a rodent in an environment where people are eating, it was just beyond the pale. And so Bill was sent away from the table with no supper, and my mother died inside and thought, oh God, please deliver my husband from this temper, it's terrible. Okay, Bill did not starve. He went on to have a fabulous medical career, and it all turned out okay. But Dad would only later realize that was wrong of me. It's not a sin to mention a mouse at table. Okay, snake, now that would be, no, you know, it's not a big deal. But Dad was very big on social graces. He was the most gentlemanly gentleman you'll ever meet. I'll look forward to introducing you to him in heaven, okay? And he'll tip his hat. Dad, by the time I came along, and by the time that I was beginning to be conscious of such things, Dad had come a long, long way. But my parents argued with each other in front of the kids. They did. Generally, that's not a good thing. Even after they'd been Christians for many years. But their arguments that they had with each other were, I'll get it. No, no, let me get it. No, no, I'll get it. No, you sit down. You've been working. I'll get it. Those were their arguments. They were eager to serve one another. They had come such a long way that it was all about outdoing one another in love. Eager to serve, wanting to meet the need. Folks, I want to be like that when I grow old. You better hurry up. Okay? But that's what I'm aiming for. I want to be eager to be the one. Let me get it. I'll get it. No, I'll get it. If you have that kind of attitude, it makes life a whole lot more pleasant. Now, eventually, somebody has to say thank you and accept the kindness, okay? If you're both standing there saying, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. You never get anywhere, okay? So sometimes you just have to learn to say thank you, and then next time think, I've got to beat them to the punch, right? I've got to be the one to open the door. But Jesus says that the kindnesses that we do in his name will result in a reward from God, guaranteed. Then Jesus says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to fall away, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If you lead children into sin, if you encourage unbelief. And by the way, you don't have to tell kids not to believe in order to encourage unbelief. If your behavior doesn't line up with what you profess, you will encourage unbelief. I've seen countless casualties of so-called Christian homes where kids grew up hearing this and seeing this and said, I don't want anything to do with it. They're a bunch of hypocrites. The parents undermined the truths they professed by living opposite the truths they professed. What they were saying was true. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the only way. The Bible is true. But their life showed that it was all about them. Jesus says, you're better off dead than leading children into sin. And then he says, take this seriously, because what he's saying is sin is serious. Sin is deadly. Sin is so serious that if your hand causes you to fall away, cut it off. Really? It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, the unquenchable fire. Folks, Jesus says you do not want to end up in the lake of fire. And so you better take sin seriously. Well, so does that mean if my hand does something wrong? When was the last time your hand did something wrong? You did something wrong with your hand. Jesus deliberately chose items of which we have two in order to make it clear that we're not talking here about self-surgery. If I have a problem with my hand and I cut it off, what am I going to do about this one? If I've got a problem with my eye, it's like I'm just going to, instead of gouging it out, I'm just going to walk around like this. Well, that's not going to solve it because the eye is controlled by you, okay? Your hand, your foot, your eye. Jesus is saying no matter how precious it is to you, how important it is to you, how attached you are to it, if something's leading you into sin, you need to get rid of it. Is that clear? Because sin is that serious. And the alternative to getting rid of sin is hell. Okay? Say, no, I really love my sin. Well, you're going to have forever with it. And that's not a good thing. Jesus describes hell and talks about it more than anybody else in Scripture. So you think, well, now, I could never believe in a God who would send anyone to hell. Well, you will one day. If you refuse to believe what God says about himself, God's not going to change in order to accommodate your idolatrous, blasphemous heresy. God's still going to be true to who he is. Well, but I believe in a God of love. God is love. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. But folks, it's not salvation on our terms. It's salvation on his terms. And he says, you've got to turn from sin. You've got to turn to the Savior. You can't just keep on doing what you've been doing and trust that God doesn't really mind. God takes sin very seriously. And one of the main reasons is because of the impact it has on others. Jesus warns about leading others into sin by our behavior. Judgment is real. Judgment is coming. And Jesus says, you need to have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another. Wonderful thing about salt is that real salt is salty. Jesus says, if salt loses its savor, it's worthless. And you and I are to be true to the character God puts in us when we're born again. We need to be salty salt. And salty salt makes a difference in the atmosphere where it is. You can taste it at the ocean. It makes a difference in foods. It preserves, it protects, it heals. It is a wonderful picture of what God does through his children in this world. But Jesus says we need to have salt within ourselves, among ourselves, and that we need to be at peace with one another. I hope you'll embrace that as his word for today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. is pastorwood.org.